Hello there, ladies of the hive. If you have just listened to the podcast about healthy relationships, I have some bonus content here for you because I ran out of time because I went off a little bit. And you know that if you listen to the episode. So I hope you enjoy this bonus content on healthy boundaries in relationships. Moving on to boundaries, let's break it down a bit, shall we? Healthy boundaries are like a queen's crown. They protect her sovereignty and command respect. For example, saying no when you're feeling overwhelmed or setting limits on how others treat you are signs of healthy boundaries. On the flip side, unhealthy boundaries might involve sacrificing your own needs to please others or allowing someone to disrespect your space and autonomy. Remember, ladies, you hold the scepter of power when it comes to setting boundaries. Do not be afraid to set and enforce healthy boundaries in all of your relationships. Now, I know that boundaries is such a popular buzzword nowadays, but what exactly is that? What are we talking about when we talk about boundaries? Let's first talk about what healthy boundaries look like. So for example, expressing your needs. This is when you feel comfortable communicating your needs, desires, and feelings to your partner, your boss, your mother, your sister, without fear of judgment or retaliation. The next one is respecting personal space. That looks like giving each other space to pursue individual interests, friendships, and hobbies without feeling threatened or neglected. I'm sure my listeners can give me a million examples of some unhealthy boundaries around respecting personal space. The next one is setting clear limits. So establishing clear boundaries around what behavior is acceptable and unacceptable in the relationship and communicating them assertively. This could look like telling your boss that while I understand I may have made a mistake, I am not going to accept being sworn at or yelled at. If you're uncomfortable with being that assertive, you can simply have a conversation with your boss and simply say something along the lines of, when you swear at me, it increases my anxiety. And so I was just wondering if maybe we could have a different way of communicating. That's definitely more palatable for somebody who is defensive, but I cannot guarantee that it will go over well because, as some of you may know, when you try to enforce healthy boundaries, if you're trying to enforce it with somebody who's unhealthy, they may not be receptive at all and they could get very defensive and it won't matter. That's your clue that maybe that relationship is not fabulous or worth working on. And moving on to the third example of healthy boundaries is setting clear limits. This is establishing clear boundaries around what behavior is acceptable and unacceptable in the relationship and communicating them assertively and clearly. Saying things like, you need to treat me better, that's not clear. That's not clear at all. Give very specific examples. The next one is honoring emotional boundaries. So this is respecting each other's emotional well-being by not pressuring or guilting them into sharing more than they're comfortable with. This happens quite frequently in many different types of relationships, not just romantic ones. Think of the parent who is trying to get you to talk to them about something when you're just not ready to talk to them, or I had a boss one time who wanted me to talk to them about a surgery that I just had, and they were being pretty aggressive with wanting to know details, and I'm sorry, it's my business whether or not I want to talk to a male boss about my vagina, so thanks but no thanks. Moving on to consent and respect. This is where we ensure that all physical and sexual interactions are consensual and mutually desired, with respect for each other's comfort levels and boundaries, And again, we always go to sex when we think of consent. But this is also, think of a touchy friend that you have. If you're not a touchy person, if you're not a hugger, and you have a friend who's constantly hugging you, it is absolutely okay to have a talk with them about that and say, listen, I'm just not into physical contact like this. It makes me very uncomfortable. So can you please respect that boundary? Another one that I will say as a parent, I wish I could remember how guilty of this one I am or not. But with children, I was raised in a generation where you respect your elders unconditionally, and that was that. And if Uncle Bob wants a hug, you give Uncle Bob a hug whether you want to or not. I'm here to say, as a therapist and a woman, we need to do better with our kids. If our child is shy, for example, and they don't want to hug someone, you need to respect that. They are not being bratty. They are simply uncomfortable with physical contact. And so I can't emphasize this enough. If you are teaching your children that they have to unconditionally respect every adult in their life, what happens when it is a family friend or a teacher or a camp counselor who is violating their physical boundaries, touching them in sexual ways? If you've already set the stage that they have to respect everyone unconditionally and do not teach them about healthy boundaries, that's going to be a problem. And so, again, I just encourage you to be your child's advocate. If little Susie doesn't want to hug Uncle Bob, simply tell Uncle Bob she doesn't want to hug you, and we respect personal space. End of discussion. And I understand that it's easier said than done because people get uncomfortable around stuff like that. But as somebody who has worked with many women who have been victims of sexual assault, I can tell you I'm done making apologies for assertiveness and boundary setting. All right, moving on to managing time and priorities. This is where in all of these various relationships that you have, you are somehow finding a way to balance time spent together and time for personal pursuits, work, other commitments, all that stuff, without feeling smothered or neglected. If you're somebody who has tons of friends, I feel very badly for you because you're probably one of the very overcommitted people with a very full social calendar, and you feel like you're pissing someone off at every turn. When you're in a romantic relationship, it is important to have time together, but also time apart. Same thing with friendships, same thing with family. So it is absolutely okay to not be up each other's butts all the time, whether it's friends, family, or romantic partner. Okay, moving on to financial independence. This healthy boundary is all about maintaining financial autonomy and making decisions about money independently while also discussing and collaborating on shared financial goals and responsibilities. So obviously this one is more common in romantic relationships. Whether you are in a heterosexual or same-sex relationship, doesn't matter. Nobody gets to be the boss of the other person when it comes to money. We should all be able to have financial autonomy. And there is actually in abusive relationships, money is often a means of control that's exerted over one partner. So if you find yourself in a relationship where you don't have financial independence, that is worthy of a discussion. Next one is respecting privacy. Ladies, holy crap, I see boundary violations on this one all the time. So respecting each other's privacy is not snooping, invading personal devices or spaces, or sharing private information without consent. again, I see this disrespected all the time. And I will say, if you feel that your partner is maybe not being faithful, and so you are snooping around in their stuff, I think it's worthy of asking why you feel this way. Is it because your partner is exhibiting some questionable behavior? If so, it warrants a conversation. Or is it because you have a history of maybe this boundary being disrespected in other relationships? If you, for example, if you've been cheated on, it's so hard not to bring that into every relationship. I would say being aware of questionable behavior is important, but you can't treat every single person you're with like they're going to cheat on you. So, and you should not accept that from your partner. So if your partner says, well, I'm sorry, I need the password to your phone. I need to check your phone regularly because I've been hurt so much in the past. I would encourage your partner to get help, to get maybe some therapy or talk to a trusted loved one about the struggle to trust, because we shouldn't be bringing our baggage in from other relationships. It's hard not to. We should be treating each new relationship as a separate entity, but it is important to learn from some of the mistakes in our other relationship and some of the wrongs of other relationships. So again, this one's a tough one. As far as the reasons behind not respecting privacy, but ultimately a healthy boundary means respecting the other person's privacy. So those are all of the healthy boundaries that I wanted to cover, but I also need a little caveat in here. As always, every situation can be unique and needs to be looked at for what it is. I think of parents, if any parents are listening to this and they're like, well, I have a 15-year-old daughter and I think she's doing this and I don't need to respect her privacy, blah, 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 blah. To an extent, I agree. Like, as a parent, we do need to know what's going on with our kids. But our children also do deserve some semblance of privacy based on age appropriateness. So use your best judgment as a parent in those situations. If you find yourself struggling with boundaries as a parent, definitely seek out a parenting coach or a therapist to try to get a better handle on age-appropriate boundaries with your child. Now that we know what healthy boundaries look like, let's talk about unhealthy boundaries. The first one we'll cover is codependency. This is feeling overly reliant on your partner for validation, happiness, or fulfillment, and neglecting your own needs and interests. And again, this is not just romantic partners. It could be your best friend. It could be a parent, a child, other family members. I see this quite often in family systems with addiction issues. If this kind of hits home for you, I really do encourage you to seek out more info on codependency. Another one, and this is another one that I see in family systems quite often, in addition to relationships, romantic relationships, is enmeshment. This is when you lose your sense of individual identity or autonomy within the relationship and almost feeling unable to make your own decisions or pursue interests independently. You're just too linked to the other person. There's no sense of autonomy. There's no sense of separation between the two of you. The next one is overstepping personal space. So this is pretty self-explanatory. Invading each other's personal space, time, or privacy without permission, and becoming excessively clingy or demanding. The next one is ignoring consent. Obviously, we know by now how I feel about this stuff. So disregarding the other person's boundaries or comfort levels, whether in physical, emotional, or sexual contexts, pressuring them to comply with your wishes. Zero tolerance for that. Just zero. I'm not going to say anything else about that. The next one is emotional manipulation. So this is where somebody uses guilt, threats, emotional blackmail to control or manipulate the other person's behavior or emotions, and obviously disregarding their feelings. And this next one is financial control. This is exerting control over the person's finances, restricting their access to money, or using financial dependence as a means of control. Parents, I'm looking at you too in this one. I see this in working with my adult people. If a parent lends them money, I often hear about how the parent tries to control them through that, use it against them. In abusive relationships, this is, again, I touched on this earlier. In these abusive relationships, the abusive partner quite often exerts control by not giving their partner access to money or controlling what they can and can't buy, stuff like that. And the final unhealthy boundary that I'm going to mention is isolation. Again, another hallmark of abusive relationships. This is discouraging or preventing your partner from spending time with friends, family, or other supports, trying to isolate them from external sources of support. This is a concerning one. This, along with, you know, any actual physical abuse, this is really, really concerning because it's that red flag behavior that is very indicative of further abuse to come. So recognizing and respecting healthy boundaries is essential for maintaining a balanced and fulfilling relationship where both partners or both family members or both friends feel valued, respected, and supported. And there you have it. I hope you enjoyed this bonus content from my prior episode, and I hope you tune in for next week's episode because we're going to be talking about gender stereotypes and gender roles. Till next time, see ya.